بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. وقال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أذل أو أذل أو أذل أو أذل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام في دعائه. Honorable ulama, Huffaz of the Holy Quran, respected elders, brothers and young friends in Islam. It has been the system of the world throughout the history of the existence of this world that there was a Fir'aun and there was a Musa. I think this is the easiest way to put it across. In every era of mankind, in every era of history, there was a Fir'aun and there was a Musa. Fir'aun was the oppressor, the tyrant, the zalim, the mighty, the powerful, the wealthy, the influential, those people or those individuals who were striving their utmost to subjugate humanity, to subjugate mankind at every cost. And the Musa was the oppressed, the weak, the downtrodden, and those who are fighting against this oppression and the zulm to free themselves from the yoke of oppression. So in every zamana and age, there has been a Fir'aun and there has been a Musa. The classical case of Fir'aun and Musa, as we all know, was the instance of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun, who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, and he claimed to be Allah, he claimed Godhead. But in every zamana and age, we found the instance where there was Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam on one side and Jalut on the other side, or David and Goliath. So whether we say that in every age there was a Fir'aun and a Musa, or there was a David or a Goliath, it's one and the same thing. If we study the history of mankind, the history of this world, we find this pattern consistently throughout every era of history. And this era that we are living in is no different from the era of the past. That is why they say that to study, a person who studies history, he has got a mirror in his hand in which he sees the condition of the world and is able to assess the conditions of the world in the light of that mirror. Because history has a tendency of repeating itself. So, in this zamana and age also, without a shadow of doubt, there is a Fir'aun and there is a Musa. It is left up to the individual to identify who is the Fir'aun of this zamana and age and who is the Musa of this zamana and age. And I don't think one has to be a neurologist or a neurosurgeon or a nuclear scientist or somebody with a very extremely high IQ to differentiate and to understand who is the Fir'aun of this zamana and age and who is the Musa of this zamana and age. Acha, the one very amazing thing about the Fir'auns of all the zamana and ages has been this, that they have resorted to every trick in the book, every dirty trick that one can imagine to subjugate and keep the masses under control. To such an extent, dear friends, that the Fir'auns in the past went to the extent of slaughtering little babies, small children, babies, innocent, masoom, who couldn't even lift a finger to harm anyone, simply on the basis of hearsay. What was their fault? Hearsay information provided by whom? Provided by fortune tellers, provided by gypsies, provided by people who had absolutely no basis of fact. On the basis of that hearsay information and evidence, they resorted to this very cruel, tyrannical act of slaughtering masoom and innocent children who couldn't even lift a finger to harm them. This is the extent the Firauns have gone to perpetuate their power, to continue their subjugation of mankind and humanity. They left no stone unturned. They went to the extent of killing the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, the messengers of Allah, to the extent that in one day 70 Nabis of Allah were slaughtered. They went to the extent that they dug trenches and they took masses of people and threw them, they lit fires in those trenches, and masses of people who were believers were taken and thrown alive, burnt alive in those trenches. This is the extent they have gone to. And the pattern continues. The Firauns of this zamana and age are continuing in their patterns of dirty tricks and oppression to subjugate the masses and to subjugate the people of the world and to perpetuate their power and control. And they have come up now in a very ingenuous way, and obviously become much more, the Firauns have become much more sophisticated and smart, so to say, that they actually use the power of the law and legislation to achieve their dirty tricks and their nefarious intentions of perpetuating their control and subjugation of the masses of the world. And one particular form, and this is what I'm leading, the talk is leading up to, on the instruction of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Damat Barakatuh, whom he asked me to speak today on the subject of ATB. It's got nothing to do with some medical health problem, TB, somebody might, if you didn't hear properly, this has got nothing to do with TB, it's in fact much worse than that. This is ATB, the Anti-Terrorism Bill. By now I'm sure many people, in fact virtually everyone, must have heard about this thing, and they must have heard this discussed, they themselves may have read up about it, and somehow the information must have reached us. But there still seems to be some degree of apathy in the Muslim community, there still seems to be some degree of negligence, of heedlessness in the Muslim community with regards to the serious dangers this poses to our future existence in this country and the future existence of our generations to come in this country. It is for this reason that Hazrat Maulana insisted and in fact emphatically requested that this particular subject must be touched upon in this Jum'ah talk. So dear friends, the Firauns of this zamana and age, they have hatched up such legislation that gives them the license and power to virtually do as they wish with the lives of individuals or nations or people. And one of those very evil and wicked ideas that they've hatched up is the legislation of the ATB, the Anti-Terrorism Bill. Because what it does, the Anti-Terrorism Bill in short, is simply a measure to control, to ruin, to wreck and destroy the lives of people at whim. As and how people wish, they can apply this law and they can virtually wreck the lives of individuals. There is not much time, dear friends, to go into the details of how this particular legislation can affect us, but I'm sure we've heard about this and we know some bit about it. First of all, it entails, the Anti-Terrorism Bill entails measures against terrorism. It entails measures against terrorism, drastic measures, draconian measures against terrorism. Now, as far as terrorism is concerned, all of us unanimously across the globe agree that it is a very evil thing, it is a bad thing, and in fact it is a scourge on humanity. There is nobody that can differ. In fact, most vociferous and outspoken against terrorism will be the Muslim Ummah themselves. Because our Quran, our Hadith, our Deen has very, very strongly condemned any measures that are construed as terrorism, harming, damaging, destroying, attacking innocent people, filling their hearts with terror, fear, and making them victims of oppression and harm. This is something Islam never ever condoned, and it will never condone till the day of Qiyamah. So as far as the issue of terrorism is concerned, there's global unanimity. Nobody likes terrorism, nobody wants terrorism. Up to that point, everybody is all united, unanimous. But now, this is where the difference comes in. What is the definition of terrorism? And who defines terrorism? This is where the problem comes in. Unfortunately, this is where the biggest problem arises, that terrorism has not been defined. And who is to be considered a terrorist? That has not been defined. Even as far as the ATB is concerned, there's no definition, clear-cut definition. It has deliberately, by design, been kept very vague so that it can be applied willy-nilly at whom and fancy against whomsoever they wish to apply the or label or pass the epithet of being a terrorist at whom they are able to do so. So this is where the problem arises. If certain people are being oppressed, and they stand up against this oppression to claim or to fight for their right, a group who is oppressing them could have this power of labeling those very people as terrorists. It's like a saying in Urdu that goes as, Ulta chor, kotwal ko danta hai. If you understand this saying, it captures the whole essence of what I'm saying. Ulta chor, kotwal ko danta hai. The rogue is now accusing the policeman of being a thief. That's what the reality of it is. The super terrorists of the world, the most wicked terrorists of the world, people who have gone beyond the bounds of terrorism, never in the history of the world has terrorism of this extent and nature been witnessed. Those are the very people who are in the position to label others as terrorists. So this is how serious it is. The first problem with this whole bill is that the issue of terrorism and the definition of who is a terrorist has not been done. That causes serious problems. And then, of course, the various provisions in this particular bill. First of all, from where it is stemming, that in itself is supposed to ring alarm bells across the world. Where it's stemming from? Who is the source of this? Who is driving this process? Who is insisting that this legislation must be passed, not only in South Africa, but in every country of the world, under whose auspices it is being done? That in itself creates so much of suspicion about it. One has to be really dumb, one has to be really foolish, one has to be really naive to believe that there's some good intention behind it. One can see clearly the bad intention, the bad intent behind this particular legislation. There is a resolution that was passed. First of all, there was a test case in the United States. This bill was passed about 5-6 years ago, and when they saw how it was very effective in virtually silencing any kind of voice against any oppressive measures anywhere in the world, they realized that this was a stroke of evil genius, a stroke of evil genius, which now they could export to every country of the world and use this as a very powerful tool to subjugate and to control any voice, any dissident voice against the evil designs. They found that this is a most useful tool, an excellent tool, a very evil and wicked tool, and therefore it was exported to every country of the world. And the United Nations, a body that has got virtually no credibility in the world because of the open hypocrisy, double standards, bias, the partiality, a body has got no credibility at all, has been used. It's a tool. It's just a little tool in the hands of certain powerful forces in the world, and they have been used to promulgate this. We know there's resolution 1373, resolution 1373, don't worry if you don't remember it too, doesn't matter. Resolution 1373 has been used that every country of the world must pass a legislation similar to the one that was passed in the United States, the anti-terrorism legislature. And to the extent that tremendous amount of pressure is being put on all the countries of the world to comply, to the extent that part of this resolution 1373 is that There will be a monitoring body that will be set up to ensure compliance in every country of the world. This is something most amazing and unique. Dozens of resolutions have been taken by the United Nations against the oppression of the Muslims in Palestine. Not a single body is there to overlook or oversee the implementation of those resolutions. Those resolutions stand as useless pieces of paper up till today, with no tangible benefit to the people of Palestine. People are starving. I just read a very disturbing report 2 days ago. Allah Ta'ala have mercy. The major portion of the people of Palestine are actually malnourished. They are starving. Food is not reaching them. The economy has collapsed totally. People don't have money to buy food. Whatever little they get, they say the only reason the Palestinian people have survived up till today is because of the extended family system that they've got. The extended family system they've got, where if I'm in trouble, my whole family comes around me, relatives, distant relatives are there to support me, and that $1 is spread between so many people and assistance is rendered across the board. That is the only thing that has saved the Palestinian people from being decimated or effaced from the surface of the earth. So we need to make a lot of dua for the people of Palestine. I'm just mentioning this in passing also. That Allah Ta'ala have mercy on them. When we are having our full meals, spare them a thought also in our duas, brothers. And think to ourselves, Ya Allah, we are enjoying so many ni'mats of yours, and the children of Palestine are starving. And spare them a thought in our duas at that time. So dear friends, it is very amazing that bodies have been set up as part of this resolution to monitor the implementation of this across the world. And countries are being given deadlines that by a certain date you must make sure that and ensure that this particular resolution has been enforced in your country by way of legislation. Otherwise, punitive measures, etc., will be applied against those countries. One can see clearly the agenda. Even an ordinary man on the street, a layman, can see what is the agenda and where is this whole thing being driven to. And now if one has to look at the provisions of this act itself, very, very frightening. It takes you back into the days of Hitler. It takes you back into the times of the Gestapo and the KGB, where people will come and knock at your door in the middle of the night, simply on the basis of some kind of suspicion they may have against you. You may have made a statement somewhere, you may have been seen in a march somewhere, or for any reason, somebody could have just given false information about you. You are picked up, you are taken in for interrogation, you are held detention without trial, you are held for lengthy periods of time, and your assets can be frozen, your wealth could be forfeited, your properties could be seized, and all kinds of things could happen. Simply by way of association, you could be implicated. For example, if you are a musalli in a particular masjid, and the imam of that particular masjid made certain statements or said certain things, just because you are a musalli in that masjid reading namaz behind that imam, by way of association, guilt by association, that is part of it, you could be implicated as being a terrorist and belonging to a terrorist organization. The result will be, you will not be able to give your zakat where you wish to give it. You won't be able to give your lillah where you wish to give it. You may want to give your lillah to a certain organization, to a madrasa, to a darul ulum, and it will be construed as though you have given financial support to terrorists or to terrorism. So there will be all these type of things that will result. It's a very bleak scenario, it's a very black scene, very frightening, very gloomy, and in fact, it has gone to this extent where in the countries where it is applied. A friend of mine, an alim, who went to England, for example, not long ago, and he came back, he was saying, Maulana, the people are so afraid, there's so much of fear that has gone into the hearts of the people because of these draconian laws and measures, that they are now saying, even to a visiting alim that comes, because now the voice is being conveyed outside the masjid through the receiver systems, so anyone and everyone can hear what is being said in the masjid. So they're actually saying that, Maulana, don't Don't talk about, sir, that is out of the questions. Don't even mention certain countries in your dua. Don't even make dua for certain countries openly. It's too risky to do that. That is the level of fear that has been instilled in the hearts of the people. So, my dear friends, this is the picture that is in front of us. Now, what do we do about the situation? This is important. Normally, the tendency is people listen, they acknowledge, they agree, they nod in agreement. They'll go back afterwards, they'll talk about it as well. But then, it just dies off. As I mentioned, Hazrat is concerned about the level of apathy with regards to these things in the Muslim community. The kind of response that is required, that is not to be found. So now, dear friends, there has to be a plan of action. There's too little time to go into a detailed plan of action. Consult those people in the community that are active in this field and try and lend our support in whichever way possible. By way of dua, everyone, male and female, the elderly and the young, everyone can by way of dua, and I would humbly appeal, and that was what I recited in the beginning as part of the khutbah, that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, I'll cut all the other parts of the dua out, but this part, an azlima aw uzlama, oh Allah, I seek your protection from oppressing anyone and from being oppressed. We have to seek Allah's protection from being zalim and mazloom. Don't ever wish that we must become mazloom. And continue asking Allah's protection from becoming mazloom and from being zalim. Either of the conditions are very frightening. The zalim is going to suffer in the akhirat. The mazloom is going to suffer in the dunya. And we want hasanatan fi dunya. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan. Fi dunya wa fil akhirah. We want hasana and good for ourselves in dunya and akhirah. So we need to, first of all, everyone, young and old, male and female, across the country, we should fervently make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Ya Allah, let this whole thing fail and grant protection and safety to the Muslims of this country and globally for that matter. Don't make us targets of Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil qawmi zalimeen. The Quran is telling us this dua, that, oh Allah, don't make us a fitna, a trial, a tribulation for the zalim and oppressive people of the world. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh Allah, through your mercy, save us from the oppression of the kuffar, etc. This is what we are being taught in. So one is dua is something everyone can do, and Allah give us tawfiq, that make abundant dua at all times for protection for the Muslim community of this country and globally. And then, dear friends, the last point which I wish to make is that the time has now come when we as a Muslim community need to come out from our comfort zones, our complacency and our slumber and sleep, that we're just taking life very easily, we're not concerned about our future, and we're just expecting things to happen for ourselves. It's not going to happen like that. We need to have an action plan. We need to get people in strategic places. We are fortunate we have a government in this country who is very, very open, very transparent, who is encouraging every community to participate jointly in the governance of this country. They are actually encouraging, they want people to come forward. They are looking for good people to come forward to assist them in good governance of this country on every level, whether it be local government, whether it be provincial, whether it be national, every level of government, every tier of government, Muslims should be well represented. After all, Allah has given us the Quran, Allah has given us the Hadith, Allah has given us the understanding, Allah has given the Muslim community the qualities of, generally I'm talking about, honesty, integrity, etc. So we need to bring those into the pool, and we need to become actively involved, and we need to start participating actively. Otherwise we will always be victims, otherwise we always will be in a reactionary mode instead of being proactive. The time has come when we have to be proactive. Let us establish political institutions. Let us establish colleges where we give our children leadership skills and prepare them to become leaders to serve this country and to serve this Muslim and the non-Muslim community of this country in the long-term future. The time has come for all this now. How long are we going to be in the state of slumber? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, and Allah create such people in our midst who are going to stand up, take the cudgels, stand up to this challenge and do something active, do something proactive. Otherwise, we will be complaining for the next 10 years and the next 20 years and the next 50 years, and we will be still at square one. وآخر دعوانا الحمد